This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we come before you this day to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that is due your name. God, we celebrate you as a mighty God, a loving God, a compassionate and kind God, a God who fights for us, a God who makes ways for us, and that's just the beginning of it. You are a God who says that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And so we praise you for being a big God this day. We praise you for being omnipotent, for holding all power. God, we praise you for being omniscient, for knowing all things, because there are so many things that we don't understand this day. So many things that we don't understand, but we thank you, Lord God, that you know all, you see all, and you are making a way for us. God, we've come to praise you this day, to praise you this day, to worship you, basically to spend time with you, to let you know how much we love you, because you are that kind of God. You are worthy of our praise. God, and because we know no other name that we can call on in our time of need, in our darkest valley, as the psalm says, God, we come calling on you this day to meet every need present in this place. God, for those who are hurting for any reason, bless. For those who are sick in their bodies, God, we seek your healing. For those who are sick in their mind even, oh God, we thank you that you are a mind regulator. You are a keeper. And so keep those this morning, oh God, that need to feel your embrace, need to feel your support. God, because your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted, we lift up those who are grieving this day, oh God. Because you're near to the brokenhearted, we lift up those who are grieving injustice in our country this day, oh God. Be with us, God. Show us how you would have us to walk as you have called us to walk, to love justice, to do mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Break it down for us, God, so that we know what that means for us, how you would have us to live as people of God in this world. God, bless like only you can. We praise you now in advance for what you are yet getting ready to do in our lives. God, we pray in the mighty, the matchless, the magnificent name of Jesus the Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Story and I know. Let's tell them love.
The Bible says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
This morning, our scripture comes once again from Psalm, the 23rd number of Psalms. David was walking through the fire when he wrote this one. We'll talk about that a little more later. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're gonna hear from Psalm 23, just verses 4 and 5 today, and then from Luke, the 14th chapter. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 4. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And now Luke 14 will tell us a little more about that prepared table. We're going to start with verse 15 in Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of his banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' Then the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. God, we thank you for the table that you prepare for us. We thank you for all that you set before us. Forgiveness, freedom, grace, mercy. God, we thank you for your table. Lord, I pray that you use this message to teach us how to be good table guests, how we might receive what you have prepared for us. So God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Friends, the psalmist says, "The Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies." You know, many of you know that earlier this month, I traveled to a cousin's wedding in Miami. It was one of the most beautiful, breathtaking things I have ever experienced, wedding or otherwise. Part of it was how they prepared the table, not just the reception table, but how they prepared the table, received us from the moment of arrival until departure at that thing. So many personalized, beautiful touches, but the most important thing was the love that went into it, the thoughtfulness for their guest. Maybe you didn't like the cake we served, so we'll have a dessert food truck outside when you're leaving. Just beautiful, thoughtful, lovely touches. Elegant flowers, brilliant candles. Some tables weren't even covered in a cloth. They were just mirror and glass, so you could marvel at that beauty. The table was truly prepared. Recently, I saw an advertisement for a new HGTV show for those who specialize in setting the table. Now, you know, they already have design contests, flea market flip, that's your pastor's favorite, design contests, cooking contests, cake decorating shows, anything you can think of. And now a contest for those who can set the most lovely, pretty, functional table. Well, I stopped by to tell you that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that prepare the most magnificent table. Prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that prepare a table before us even while they are leading us through the darkest valleys, straight to that table that is prepared. Now, some of us may remember setting a table when we were children. We don't too much do that anymore, right? Everybody can eat off paper plates. because you know you won't want to wash the dish. And if you're feeling fancy, you don't get the styrofoam that doesn't biodegrade. You get those lovely little Corningware type platters from H-E-B, whatever those are called. You get those, the fine dining paper plates, amen. But we used to set the table. The lace tablecloth might come out, something beautiful that you didn't see all the time. So you pulled out your lace. Maybe there were some flowers involved. There's always going to be some flowers on my prepared table. Amen. So something simple could just be one stem of a rose, or could be a bouquet that represents the season. But we know, oh, another wonderful thing. You don't eat on your throwaway. No plasticware when you're really preparing the table. You bring it out, and you bring out your fine linen cloths, or linen-like cloths, right? Because it might not be linen. Maybe that ain't what grandma had. So the table is prepared. And then that's the day for the good dishes, huh? These were my grandmother's plates, and I can honestly say I don't ever remember seeing them. I don't. She didn't eat her everyday grits and toast on these plates. This might have been something somebody special, cousin from out of town is visiting. I don't know. But we'll place one today for the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then when it was time to serve, we didn't just, oh Lord, Party City and whoever, Walmart makes such a racket with these 99-cent or $2 foil pans. We didn't know nothing about foil pans, because you had your good platter that somebody picked up from Ward's. Y'all don't know about Ward's. Picked up from Ward's, or ordered it and waited for it from the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now the Sears and Roebuck, that's my favorite. This is my mama's platter. I do remember seeing it a few times, but mostly only holidays, right? Some kind of holiday or special occasion. So the same way that we take time to prepare the table for our family, for our guests, God is so intentional about preparing the table before us. I know that even with all of the fine plates, that's not what mattered. Setting the table was really just the prelude, right? For whatever it was you could smell cooking in the kitchen that was about to be set on that plate before you. So for many of us, when we read that psalm and we hear, "You prepare a table before me," we don't really think about the table. We just think about the plate. Amen. What's going to be on the plate? How might God bless me this day? All we see is our full plate. But the text actually says you prepare a table. A table. The whole thing is for us. God intends to prepare a table of blessings. God intends abundance for us. God intends overflow for us, but we limit ourselves to a tiny little plate. Our God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. And instead of asking big, as we preached earlier this fall, we in our limited imaginations, because we can't even imagine what God would do. Instead of asking big, we downsize what God desires to do for us. Even in our supersized culture, when it comes to our big God, we play it small. We imagine only a plate when God says, "I have prepared a table." We limit the intention of God. We put God in a box, as some would say. Friends, this is not the time to downsize what God will do. 'Tis the season. We're about to go overboard for ourselves on Thursday when we pull up to the table. And some people are going to keep that party going on Friday or even Thursday night as we head out to shop. So we believe in abundance as we are consuming and maybe providing for ourselves, but we don't realize the abundance that God has for us. Tis the season of abundance. Tis the season of overflow, of miracles, signs, and wonders, whatever you've been waiting on. Tis the season for God to blow our minds. So, church, let's not seek a plate blessing. Little bitty appetizer, saucer, plate blessing. Let's not do that when the Lord desires to give us a table blessing. And the reality is sometimes our trust, our faith, our vision, but our trust in the Lord has been limited, downscaled by the world, what's happening around us, trimmed down to the point that maybe we can't see what God is trying to do. Our limiting beliefs are false beliefs. It's a bad understanding, stinking thinking, as some would say, that maybe we picked up through life's tests and trials. A bad understanding that we grabbed onto while we were in our valleys. While the voices of the enemy were talking to us in our valley, we began to believe that, allowed those words to come true for us. And the reality is, if we believe it, we will act as if it is true. Our limiting beliefs tell us that we're not good enough. But from where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sit at the table, they tell us we are more than enough. Our limiting beliefs say that we're not worthy. But from where the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer sit, they say all are welcome at this table. Jesus tells us the story in Luke of a certain man who prepared a banquet for folks to enjoy and sent his servants out to invite them. And they said, come, everything is ready. Now, I don't know if your family is like my family and you say you're going to eat at 2:30 so you can eat at 3:30 or 4 or 4:10. I don't know. So by the time the last guest arrives, by the time everything is hot and ready, by the time the rolls that we forgot to put on are good and golden brown, folks are so glad to hear, come, everything is ready. I can't imagine anybody coming up with an excuse not to eat. No, let me just finish my nap that I started. Y'all go ahead, I'm good. I filled up on deviled eggs. Oh, can we just wait till the commercial break? Because even football has to pause when you finally hear that call. Come, everything is ready. But in Jesus' story, these folks began to make excuses. And none, as in no one, not a single person would come to the table. Oh, there were good reasons. I just bought some land. I got to take care of my property. I just got some oxen. In other words, that was a business owner, an entrepreneur. I'm on my hustle. I'm out here grinding. I don't have time to come to the prepared banquet. And another had just gotten married. The table is ready and no one will eat. Now that's a hot mess. We can't believe their excuses. We think that's absurd. We don't believe their excuses, but what about our excuses? What are your reasons for not receiving everything that God intends for you to have in life? We have good excuses too for not experiencing God's overflow, God's abundance. At the end of the day, it's just an excuse and it limits us. Many of us are walking around lacking the energy that we need just to get through the day because we don't receive what God offers at the table. Many of us are lacking the money, the opportunities that we need, the relationships that would support and sustain us because we don't receive what has been placed on the table for us. Many of us are hungry and thirsty when God prepares a whole table for you and for you and for you and you and you and for me. Limiting beliefs tell us that we don't have enough resources, but at the table, God says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Limiting beliefs tell us that we're all washed up, but at the table, God says, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you see it? Do you not perceive it? I will make a way for you in the wilderness and rivers and the deserts. We might be in a valley. We might be in a fire, as the song said. But friends, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he was in a valley. He was on the run. His back was against the wall. He was wondering if he was good enough, strong enough, if his time was up. He was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, as his son was attempting to take him out, take him off the throne. Church, David was in a valley, the darkest valley, as some translations say. But his faith was not stuck in the valley. Something deep down in David gave him the unction to transform a limiting belief into a liberating leap. And so David leaps from this valley of the shadow of death. And instead of saying he's walking in a valley or walking to a valley, he says, I'm walking through a valley. And someone might be just about ready to give up and just camp out in your dark valley place, in your fire even, because you don't see circumstances changing. We might need to remember that David says, even though I walk through the valley. So we have to keep it moving. Somebody say through. Our shepherd king understood that he was about to experience a through moment. He knew that God would bring him through this fire. He understood the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores me. He provides for me. He guides me. He comforts me. And then David writes, my Lord prepares for me. And what is it that God prepares? A whole table. A whole table, which like our communion table that we come to, can represent new life for us, a whole new way of life. As it related to the sheep, the shepherd was leading them up out of the valley. Can you see it? Can you see the shepherd taking his sheep out, taking his sheep up? Now, everybody knows that when you go from one level to another, you may encounter some difficulty. There may be some bumps as you do this new thing. There may be some tears as you move to this new place. It's because the Lord is taking us somewhere, sending us somewhere. I wonder if anyone has ever encountered some bumps on their way to the table. When you're heading somewhere new, we can expect to encounter some dark valleys along the way, some fire along the way, some bumps along the way. When we're going to another destination, we're gonna experience some turbulence, and it won't be the same for everybody. My sister slept most of the flight to Miami, and so when we landed, she said, that was a good flight. And I said, it was? It was? We shook and swerved a whole lot, and it felt like the pilot practically threw the thing on the ground. But that's the moment she woke up and said, that was a good flight. So it might look different for everybody. We can't worry about what the other sheep are experiencing or what someone else's valley day looks like or why you're going through the way you're going through. The turbulence will be different for everyone. And here's the reality. The only time that turbulence is not a possibility is when you're stuck on the ground. When you're stuck on the ground, when you're delayed, not moving, not going up as God would have you to, that's the only time that there might not be turbulence. Friends, I believe somebody is on their way to their next level today. Somebody is rising up today out of the valley. So if you're feeling that turbulence, just tell yourself, I am on my way. Yeah, I'm experiencing a little turbulence at home, but I'm on my way. I have some turbulence at work, amen, but I'm on my way. There might be turbulence on your sports team, turbulence in your classroom, but I'm on my way. There might be turbulence in your ministry, but you can still say, I'm on my way. Turbulence in our health even sometimes, but we are on our way. We can take that turbulence as a sign that the Lord is taking us somewhere. The Lord is moving in our lives. The darkest valley is a sign that light is up ahead, that the light of the world is up ahead. The darkest valley is a sign that there's an abundant table up ahead. We didn't get to that part of the psalm until after they had walked through the dark valley. After that, God prepares a table. A table. I'll say it again. The Lord prepares a table, not a plate. The Lord prepares a table after ascending through the valley. After a little suffering has helped us develop our appetite, amen. Our appetite for healing, our appetite for justice, our appetite for peace and joy. Once a little suffering has made us hungry, after a season of hunger, the Lord prepares a table. Friends, today is Christ the King Sunday in the life of the church. And if we were to read the text from Ezekiel, we would hear what God had in mind. The Lord looked down and said, the leaders are unjust. The shepherds are not doing their job. My sheep are hungry. My sheep are hurting. They don't have what they need. So the Lord said, I will be the shepherd. I'll do it myself. I will gather my sheep back to me who have been scattered. I will bind up and heal every broken place, every hurting thing, the stuff that we don't even talk about. God says, I'll heal that. And then I'll feed them. I'll do this work. I will be the shepherd. And so that prepares us when God announces, I'll be the shepherd king. That prepares us for our season of waiting, which we call Advent, leading to Christmas. So next Sunday will be our first Sunday of Advent as we anticipate, as we await the arrival of our shepherd king, who gathers, who feeds, who heals, who prepares a table before us. Friends, in the sacred text, the original word used for table does not mean object. It doesn't mean a table like you or I would have in our home. Because we're talking about sheep, table here means an area of land, a terrain, amen. When we're being brought up, being elevated from our valley, the shepherd seeks to find a flat place so the sheep wouldn't hurt themselves anymore. Some level land, so maybe the sheep could rest a little bit, not have to work so hard in their journey, in their walk. The shepherd seeks to find an area that will be nourishment to the sheep. And so the shepherd goes ahead a little bit of the flock to scout out an area where the sheep can dwell, can replenish, can thrive, a place where we can all gather, be fed, be healed. Amen. Preparing the table today might look like rest for somebody. The shepherd has prepared a place so that you might, as Jesus said, come all you who are heavy laden and I will give you rest. So we might have rest and renewal. That might be what's on the table in the area today. The shepherd might be preparing better health for someone this day. That might be on the table. The shepherd goes ahead and removes all the bad things, all the toxic vegetation that would harm the sheep. God might be taking something out of your life today. so that you might enjoy the table that is prepared for you. Security might be on the table for somebody today. Protection is at your place setting as you sit down at that table. We don't have to worry about a world that's going crazy around us, a world that has lost sight of what it means to be a quote unquote Christian nation. We don't have to worry about that because we know that protection is still at God's table. Friends, when King David writes, "The Lord prepares a table," he wasn't talking about a plate. He wasn't talking about a table like in our homes. He was referring to the whole area. He's talking about an environment. The Lord is preparing to change our whole world through Christ, through us, and for us. The Lord is preparing to shift the entire atmosphere. God is preparing a table before us, preparing a table that we can thrive in, preparing for our rest and revival, our restoration, preparing for our through moments as we're still journeying through, preparing for our elevation, our leveling up, as some would say, preparing for our next. Friends, I wonder, are we prepared to receive it? Are we stuck in our valley places? Or are we ready to come to the table and receive God's choice blessings for our lives? Are we prepared, or will we offer an excuse? "I'm just tired." "I would, but my kids." "Well, you know, my job, my business, my past, my excuses." Amen. Come. Everything is ready. The table is prepared. Are we prepared? If we show up to the great banquet, will we come with a little plate, little salsa, little dessert plate? Are we coming with that? Or are we coming for the blessing of the whole table? I hear God saying, take the limits off. I hear God saying, stop limiting what your God can do. Stop believing that the story ends in the valley. Stop thinking that I'm going to leave you in the middle of that fire. Stop settling for a plate when the whole table is yours. Stop downsizing what your God can do. Your God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And to make that modern, to make that plain, I've told you before, that's like God saying, "I own all the Chick-fil-A, all the Popeyes, the Lanes, and the Canes." That's what it means to own the cattle of a thousand hills. "It's all mine," God says. "And it's my good pleasure," the gospel says, "to give you the kingdom." God delights in being able to bless us. So stop limiting the God who says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it, I will give you. Friends, it's kind of like when we go to the grocery store just to grab a couple of things. So you get that little arm basket, right? Or you don't get no basket at all because you're like, "I just need bread and a couple of bananas," right? So you might not get a basket at all. And then sooner or later, you find yourself roaming the aisles, overflowing, arms stuffed, looking for somebody's basket that you can hijack. Amen. So some of us are showing up to the table, the area, the terrain, the environment that God has prepared for us, with a little old plate, with an itty bitty arm basket, when the Lord has positioned us to claim the whole area. The Old Testament says it to us this way in Joshua 1:3 and Deuteronomy 11:24. The Lord says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." Every place where you set your foot is yours. The entire terrain is yours. The table is yours. And here's some more good news. That table is prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Those who made the valley dark for us. Amen. Those who maybe misled us, and that's how we got lost and stuck in the valley in the first place. Amen. Those who talked about you when they saw you trying to climb up out of your dark place, when they saw you trying to do your new thing, they laughed at you. The table is prepared in front of those who planned evil for you. But God took that thing and turned it around for your good. God prepares a table for you in front of your haters. And I imagine it's not to hurt or embarrass them. It's not to get some get back at them, to retaliate, but because haters get hungry too. Haters are hungry too. That's why they hating so hard. Because they hurting so hard, usually. And so it's possible that God prepares the table before us in front of them to use us to invite them to feast at the Lord's table, to use us to call them to be changed at the Lord's table, to compel them, as the gospel lesson said, to come in to enjoy the banquet. Friends, wherever we are in life right now, I believe God has prepared an area for you to make his name great, for you to reach people for Jesus Christ who are near to you, even if they're hating on you. For you to transform lives for Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can still witness for you, Lord. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I can still glorify you, Lord, for thou art with me. You are with us, O God, and you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Friends, if you have some enemies in your face right now, it just might be because God has called them in to set the table for you. If you're in a valley season, I wonder if you can trust that you're walking through and God is walking with you. If your strength is failing and you're starting to believe that the enemy is winning, I wonder if you can trust that the Lord is about to reveal something. I wonder if you can trust that Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness, so you don't even have to be strong in your dark valley. The area that the Lord has provided for you will stretch beyond your plate. It'll stretch beyond the table even. It'll stretch beyond those limiting beliefs that we have, those doubts, those fears. That area that the Lord is preparing stretches right up to enemy territory. Every place your foot touches, I will give to you. And the good news is the Lord's table encroaches even into enemy territory. God is crossing those lines. God is stepping toward our enemies and snatching what belongs to God and placing it on the table. The Lord is reclaiming your time, your purpose, your potential, putting all of that on the table. The Lord is reclaiming our possibilities, putting that on the table, snatching back our healing and our hope. We will not be discouraged no matter what the headlines say. God is snatching hope and putting that on the table, taking our joy and putting that on the table. It's all on the table today. And I hope you brought a big enough plate to enjoy the blessings of our big God. Better yet, I hope you cast your plate aside. I hope you throw away the limiting beliefs and simply come to the table. Enjoy the whole table. Come. Everything is ready and the table is yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.